This podcast is intended for investment professionals only.
The last couple of weeks has seen renewed talk of bubbles in both cryptocurrencies and certain sectors of the equity market. So here to give us some insight into the world of bubble mania is Emil van den Heiligenberg, Head of Asset Allocation. Emil, welcome to LGIM Talks.
Good to be here, Frances.
So tell us, what constitutes a bubble exactly?
Yeah, interesting question. I've looked at bubbles sort of all my life as a pet project on the sidelines, I have to say. There's no set definition of bubbles, but there are some common features. And a bubble is a massive price rise over a certain period, and which is not justified or not easily justifiable by fundamentals. And then you have usually around bubbles, you have some behavioral aspects as well, like groupthink or herd behavior. You have to think of things like this time is different mentality. Around the tech bubble, you had that, for instance. People thought the world would change because of the invention of the internet. New investors drawn into the market, attracted by the high returns. We see that now with Robinhood, for instance, with the Robinhood platform, drawing in lots of new people which have never invested before. So there is some fascinating academic research about bubbles from Harvard University. And the conclusions are actually fascinating. A sharp price increase of a market or of a part of the market doesn't, on average, predict low returns or negative returns going forward. So what that means is people remember bubbles because of the burst of the bubble. And don't take into account that in the past, there have been many of these episodes where the market has gone up a lot and then keeps on going.
At the moment, though, I mean, since the start of January, Emil, we've had a load of talk about bubbles. Where's all of it come from all of a sudden?
I think an important part came from Bitcoin. If you think about Bitcoin, it's gone up in the last 2 years. So that academic definition of what could be a bubble or what could go into a bubble, they've gone up more than 800%. And Bitcoins, as I blocked in another blog, have no fundamentals. There's no real way to have a fair value on Bitcoin. That made investors like me already sort of, keeping an eye on that, but also a bit worried as well. But if you look at the equity market, mm-hmm. absolute valuations, especially in the US, are very, very high as well. Not so much outside the US. So if there is a bubble, it is very, very concentrated in the US. And then you have some weird, unexplainable price movements. Stocks that double on the first day of trading, once they sort of got IPO'd, massive price moves on a simple tweet from Elon Musk, and then unexplainable valuations. For instance, Tesla being worth far more than many of the traditional auto companies, irrespective of the fact that this year was the first year they actually made an operational profit. All this together sort of has, definitely some of the features of a bubble, and makes people pretty worried.
And we perhaps should mention that the US, you're saying that you know, bubble signs are in the US as opposed to Europe and Japan. But of course, US is so important, isn't it? Because it's such a large constituent of the MSCI index. Now, you mentioned cryptocurrency. You've mentioned, you know, in the tech sector with the Tesla valuation. But let's just turn our attention to bonds, Emil. I mean, given their current valuations with bond yields so low at the moment, I mean, do you think they're not in the biggest bubble of them all?
Yeah, it's tempting to say that, because who could imagine 5-10 years ago that rates were still as low as they are, that so many countries have negative rates. I mean, also negative rates, it's very difficult to comprehend why people would lend money for negative rate assumptions. So yeah, it's very tempting to say so. But if you go back to the basics and you say a bubble is a market or a set of securities or a sector where the prices are completely dislocated from fundamentals, then the answer surely on the bond market should be no. We think that actually, if you think about fair value of interest rates, that many of the bond markets are more or less at fair value and are sort of in line with the fundamentals. Now, if you then look at the fundamentals might be strange and might be unsustainable for a very long, I think like 10, 15 year period. But at the moment, these interest rates levels, how low they are, but do make sense. If you think about these fundamentals, we have very, very low inflation expectations. Inflation has been low for the last 15 years. So market participants don't expect lots of inflation going forward. We have very, very accommodative central banks, and in every opportunity they get, they will tell you that they will remain accommodative and they will keep the basic interest rates low. That doesn't give an incentive for longer term interest rates, 10-year rates, for instance, to go up much at all. And then finally, on the fundamentals, an enormous demand for duration from pension funds, insurance companies, and sovereign wealth funds. So that must mean, so we think that all those fundamental reasons perfectly explain why US treasuries are at 1%.
Just turning now to your own index, Emil, because you've over the past 30 years when you've been working, you've compiled your own bubble index. Some of those, I understand, based on subjective people's views, others more objective, you know, based on hard data. Just remind us then what your particular index is telling us now, where we are in relation to bubbles in markets.
Yeah, so my own index, which indeed I get it, is going up. And it is actually higher than it has been since the last time it seriously signaled a bubble, which is sort of 2007, 2008, 2009. It's not yet comparable to real moments of bubble burst in 2008 or into 2000 or in bubbles before that.
So is it flashing amber rather than red?
Yes, that's exactly what's the conclusion. And what's causing the rise of the index? So the easiness of which capital is raised, so IPOs and SPACs are coming to markets, and they're coming more to, we see more of those coming to markets, and you see more volatile price moves around these IPOs. That's in our view, a echo of the tech bubble in the 90s, where IPOs had also unbelievable returns on the first day coming to market. And then the thing I mentioned already, retail investors, new investors drawn in. So for instance, in the last 2 weeks, we had two of the largest US share trading volumes ever. That's only happened in the last 2 weeks. And if you analyze the volumes, it's not big ticket volumes of large institutional investors doing the trades. No, it's many, many small trades done by retail investors. So a signal that increasingly new investors are drawn in. A reason why it's not signaling a bubble, the indicator. Well, the first reason is the most important one. It's very rare you get a burst of a bubble or even a proper bubble formation this early in the cycle. We just come out of a COVID recession. That means that macroeconomic indicators are going to improve, but we still have a large output gap. We have monetary policy, which is extremely accommodative, central banks, which are still pushing the economy forward rather than sort of trying to sort of put on the brakes and slow it down a little bit. So this is a good breeding room for bubbles. This is a good environment for, that's why it's amber. That it's a good environment where bubbles could emerge, but it's very unlikely that in this scenario where money is so available, that there is a sudden burst of it.
Yeah, because I get that, and also I suppose to your point when we were chatting before about the surplus economy, you've covered that, the surplus capacity rather in the economy.
Yeah.
And you know, the combination, it just doesn't feel right, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
So okay, on that basis that your lights are only flashing amber rather than red, where does all that leave how you would allocate for equity markets?
The formation of a bubble can be a very, very profitable period for investors. But it's obviously, it's a trade-off, because the longer you ride the wave of a bubble formation, the more risky that wave becomes, and you have to at some point decide to step to the sidelines. We think it's too early. So what we see now of elements which contribute to a bubble is actually something which I think keeps us bullish on equity markets. It is, in our view, too early to become cautious, but yeah, you should have proper milestones to identify when you think market has gone too far and when you would step to the sideline. If you look in the equity market, there are some themes which I think will benefit from the current market circumstances. For instance, technology. If you get more and more retail interested in markets, technology is a sector which retail is usually very interesting in. Why? Because, well, everyone lives with technology. And it's very easy to have massive growth stories in technology as well. We have many technology themes at the moment, for instance, AI or machine learning, which also have that same kind of narrative around it, where growth could be tremendous in the coming 10 to 20 years.
And what else, Emil?
Something which we would call reopening themes. So if what we mean with a reopening theme is a sector which will do well once the economy starts to reopen from COVID. Because again, everyone can sort of understand that the demand for leisure activities, for holidays, for flights, for cruising will increase the moment the economy normalizes. Mm-hmm. And those sectors have done terrible last year, are now recovering a little bit. But we also think that with this retail participation, these sectors will do very, very well in the near future.
So what in effect you're saying, Emil, is it's a barbell strategy in your view?
Yeah, barbell in the sense that technology has done really, really well already. So you could say it's expensive and the reopening themes have not done so well and are cheap. So by barbelling your portfolio in that sense, you keep a balanced approach in your equity portfolio.
Emil, thank you very much for joining LGIM Talks today. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and general investment management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, www.lgim.com.